Well, I'm so excited to continue our series today on the Holy Spirit. And last week, we talked a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. Today, I want to talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does and what we can do in response to the Holy Spirit. You know, right now, whether it is the war in Ukraine and Eastern Europe and Russia, or whether it is just a trauma or a tragedy in your own personal life, I believe that today we need the Holy Spirit more than ever before. And so I'm just hopeful that this series has actually helped each and every one of us draw a little bit closer to the Holy Spirit. And even today at the end of our time together, I want to give you an opportunity just to have some time in prayer with God and in time just to say to the Holy Spirit, hey, I'd like more of you. I want you to come in and to have more of me. So what I'd like to do today is try to teach us a little bit about what the Holy Spirit does, what we can do in response, and then lead us right into a response time personally for you wherever you are so that you can encounter God on your own. Last week, I shared an analogy of a football game between the MSU Spartans and the Wisconsin Badgers that happened years and years ago. And something interesting was happening is that as the Michigan State team was going in to score a touchdown against the Wisconsin Badgers, they were playing in the Wisconsin Badger Stadium. All of the Wisconsin Badger Stadium fans started cheering. And Muddy Waters, who was the MSU football coach at the time, said he didn't understand what was happening. What they did not know during the football game is that up the road, there was actually a World Series baseball game happening between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cardinals. And the Milwaukee Brewers were rallying back against the Cardinals in one of the games of the World Series. And so back in those days, instead of looking at phones, which is what we would do now, people used to wear radios and they would have a radio earbud in their ear and they would, you know, go to a football game and be watching the game, but they'd be listening to something else in their ear. And so at the time, as Michigan State on the football field was going in to score, the fans would be celebrating the baseball game that they were hearing in their ears. And last week I shared about how sometimes what we see with our eyes and what we hear in our ears and in our souls, they don't align up. But we can be watching defeat on the field, but still cheer because of what we know God is doing in our ears and in our souls. And I said last week that those are two different realities and they're both real. But God's reality is always greater. And so we talked about how the Holy Spirit really is one of the main mechanisms that God uses to actually continue to speak victory into our ears and into our souls, even though we're seeing sometimes failure and defeat in front of our faces. And so today I want to continue that. If you want the notes for today's teaching, you can get that right on our app, our phone app. You can go and go right to the media tab, go to today's teaching, scroll down, and you'll see a tab for the notes. Get all the scriptures and all the points for today. But if you're taking notes, go ahead and get ready for that. And so here's the big question today is, what will the Holy Spirit do? And if you want a refresher on who the Holy Spirit is, you can go back and watch last week. It's on all of our platforms and all of our channels in our phone app. So today, what will the Holy Spirit do? Well, the first subpoint of what the Holy Spirit will do is that He'll help us. Now, that might seem obvious because we think about God helping us and we probably think, oh, yeah. But a lot of us actually would assent to the idea that God helps us, but we don't actually truly believe that God wants to help us. What's interesting to me is that God went to great lengths in order to demonstrate that He actually wants to help us, that He actually set up a system in such a way that the Holy Spirit could come and dwell with us on the inside of us. We talked about that last week. And John 14, 16, Jesus is praying for us. And it says this, He says, I will ask the Father and He'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. I'm sorry, He's speaking to the disciples, not praying for us. He's praying for us two chapters later in the book of John. But here, as He's talking to the disciples and He explains the Holy Spirit to them, the Greek word that He used is parakletos. It literally means an advocate. And what Jesus is saying to His disciples is, look, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send back a helper, a paraclete, and an advocate to you to help you and to be with you. And He will help you and He will be with you forever. Now, that means God's Spirit is with us forever. Why? Because God wants to help us. If you look into this Greek word parakletos, it literally means in other extra biblical language, it's used in other stories and other writings. It's literally used in an analogy of a man that's in the woods and he's trying to pick up a large log, but he can't do it by himself because as he picks up one and he can't drag the other end. A parakletos or an advocate, a helper, is someone that comes along and picks up the other end of the log. And in that way, it is an advocate, a parakletos, that God is saying, Jesus is saying to his disciples, hey, I'm going to send God's Spirit back to you to help you, like a parakletos, like an advocate, to pick up the other end of whatever you're trying to carry in your life, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and then check this out, and be with you forever. Now, we mentally assent to that, but do we really believe that? And I want to ask you, do you really believe that? Because if you really believe that, and by the way, it is true, then it changes absolutely everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. So I don't know what you're trying to lift in your life right now. I don't know what the log is that you've got one end of and you just can't seem to budge that sucker, but the Holy Spirit is there to help pick up the other end of that, to assist you. The Holy Spirit wants to pick up of the other end of every single thing in your life. And we so often ask the question, well, God, where are you? God, why did you not show up in a certain situation? And here's the thing. There's a lot of timing. There's a lot of things we don't understand. But technically, when we ask, where is God? We know God the Father is theologically, technically in heaven. Jesus technically is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And we know this, the Holy Spirit technically, theologically and technically is with you, is with me. And so when we ask, well, God, where are you? We can be assured of the answer that God is with us. And Jesus said it right there in John 14:16, I will send another advocate to help you and he will be with you forever. Now that doesn't mean we always understand God, but it means that God is always with us. And that's a promise from the mouth of Jesus. Now this is really interesting. And we know that the Holy Spirit is good and that God is good and that he's with us. Jesus says this in John 16:7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it's better for you, he's speaking to his disciples, he says, that I go away. If I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. If I go, I'll send him to you. And as I talked about last week, Jesus doesn't say it's better for him to leave and send the Holy Spirit back. And then this amazing, beautiful person, Jesus, leaves and sends back somebody weird, like the Holy Spirit. He sends back somebody beautiful, like the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not goofy. He's glorious. And here's what we know is that in every circumstance, in every scenario, when we're trying to lift the log of our life, God is speaking through the Holy Spirit to us and helping pick up the other end of the log because God is here to help us. The second part today is this is what will the Holy Spirit do? He will reveal the Bible to us. The Holy Spirit will reveal the Bible to us. And you know, a lot of people say to me, Pastor Scott, I just don't understand the Bible. Can I just encourage you? Don't try to lift that log alone. You don't have to try to understand the Bible by yourself. I don't know if you've ever stopped and actually asked the Holy Spirit to help you read the scripture, but that's a good prayer and one that you might want to make a habit of before you read your Bible, just taking a moment to stop and to just say, God, would you help me understand your word today? I know that sounds super simple, but it's probably something that many of us have never done before. And there's lots of stories in my life, both from a personal standpoint and then mentors that I have followed who have talked about the importance of asking the Holy Spirit to help you read scripture and to help you remember the things and understand the things that you read. In John 14:26, Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I, that's Jesus speaking, have said to you. So Jesus says, when I send the Holy Spirit back, here's what I want you to know. He's going to teach you stuff and he's going to help you remember everything that I said to you. Let me put that into modern vernacular. The Holy Spirit is going to help us read the scripture and remember the scripture and understand the scripture. And that's, you know, as we read the Bible together, Element Church, through our soaping methodology, which by the way is scripture, observation, application, and prayer. It's a simple way of reading the Bible. You can actually read the Bible with us through the phone app or right on our website. You can get back to the phone app and get to the reading plan. But we read one chapter of the Bible together every single day. And we read it through reading scripture. We observe what was the original message to the original audience. And then we apply whatever that message is to our life. And then we turn it into a prayer and we talk to God about it and we ask him to help us. So that's the SOAP methodology. And here's the deal. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us SOAP through the Bible. And I want to encourage you to ask him if you've never asked him that before. And by the way, if you've never read the Bible with us before, man, jump in. Let's do it. We all need accountability and we all need help, don't we? To just know that other people are doing this along with us. So get involved and read the Bible with us. The third point today is this, is what will the Holy Spirit do? He will help us point people to God. And you know, it's interesting because the Holy Spirit doesn't just give us gifts or the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit actually draws people to God. And John 15, 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will speak of me. That's Jesus. And what's interesting is that the day that the Holy Spirit shows up on earth to indwell the disciples and the apostles, 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people turn their lives over to Jesus. And there's this thing that happens where they start to surrender and repent. And they start to say, "I don't want to do my life alone anymore. I need salvation from a Savior named Jesus Christ." And the Holy Spirit will help draw people and point people to God. The fourth point this morning, and I want to spend the rest of our time together on this, is that the Holy Spirit, what will the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit will invite us to experience a deeper baptism in Him. The Holy Spirit will invite us to experience a deeper baptism in Him. In Matthew 3:11, it says, "I baptize you with water for repentance." This is John the Baptist speaking. "But after me comes one who's more powerful than I," he's talking of Jesus, "whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now listen, you might be watching this today and you're like, "Hey, I've been a Christian a long time. I just feel like I need more power." You know, we talk about God, we talk about God's grace, God's divine empowerment. Grace is divine forgiveness and acceptance, but grace is also divine empowerment. And some of us live our Christian lives in such a way that we feel that we have God's acceptance and forgiveness, but we don't feel that we have God's power. And there's a lot of things that can go into increasing anointing, increasing power. But one of the major things, God's main methodology, is the Holy Spirit. That's where God's power is. God's power is in His Spirit. And here's what's really interesting is that John the Baptist says, "Look, I'm baptizing you with water, but Jesus is going to come after me and He's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." And again, I talked more about that last week. You can get about who the Holy Spirit is and how some of that works. But what I want to lean into today is this word baptized. What does it mean to be baptized into the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go back to the Greek and let's look at the word for baptized. The word is baptizo, and it literally means to dunk. So let me say it like this. You could take a donut and you could baptize it in a cup of coffee. You could take an Oreo cookie and baptize it in a glass of milk. You can take one of my kids could have jumped into a pool and been baptized into the pool. It literally means to dunk or to submerge. So when we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, what we're literally talking about, what the scripture's literally talking about, is that you're going to be submerged in, dunked into God's Spirit. Now, I referenced extra biblical writing earlier, the idea that some of the words that were used in Greek in the New Testament, we can get context and clarity from them by looking at how they were used in other writings of the time outside of the Bible. And one of the places, I'll give you two, that baptizo is used, one is in dyeing cloth. So the idea is if you took a shirt or a jacket or a skirt and you were trying to dye it in cloth, you would literally baptize the cloth into the dye. So you would take it and you would dunk it into the dye. The other analogy that I've seen used from extra biblical writing is the idea of pickle making, where you take a cucumber and you baptize it, you baptizo it into a solution of vinegar, and it actually pickles the cucumber. Now, here's what's interesting about both of these examples that I want you to see. The thing that you took originally, you baptized it into a different substance. And as you baptized it into, you dunked it into a different substance, the character and nature of the original item changes. So what if you take a piece of cloth and you baptize it into dye, when you draw it out, it has the character, quality, nature, look, feel, and smell of the thing in which it was baptized into. If you take a cucumber and you baptize it into a vinegar solution and you pull it out, it's no longer cucumber. It's a pickle. It's a different thing. And when we as believers of Jesus Christ are baptized into God's Spirit, the original thing that we were when we are baptized, submersed, baptizoed into God's Spirit and pulled out, we then look, smell, think, act. Our character and nature becomes like the thing that we were dunked into. Isn't that cool? And isn't that beautiful that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now, this is exciting because we can experience more of God's power. We can experience more of the gifts of the Spirit. We can experience more of the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll touch on some of that in just a moment, what we're really being baptized into and what we can, the character and nature, what we can be changed toward. But there's a question in a lot of Christian circles about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being baptized into God's Spirit. Is that a second experience to salvation? Or is this like an ongoing thing that happens over and over and over again? And I think there's a lot of good debate on that. I could teach on that and talk on that, and we could, you know, we could go from adamant side to adamant side about it. Here's the thing. In some ways, it very much matters. And in some ways, it doesn't really matter, because whether there is a second experience where we surrender to God's Spirit and we ask for him to baptize us in his Spirit, and whether that is a significant second experience, or whether we do that over and over and over again, we know this, that what's required is that we actually say yes to surrender to the Holy Spirit, and that there is something that changes. There's an evidence that happens because of our surrender and yes to the Holy Spirit. Now, some people believe, again, that this is a second experience, that there is salvation and then a unique experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we receive. Some people believe that that idea of a second experience is actually one among many experiences of surrender to the Holy Spirit, where we're dunked in and submerged into the Spirit, and we come out and we have an evidence or a change. Now, some people that hold to the second experience idea believe that one of the evidences of being baptized and coming back out is something that the Bible calls speaking in tongues. It's one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about tongues in just a moment, but I want to give you kind of a bunch of the evidences that can go together. And these are found primarily Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30, Ephesians 4, 11, and 1 Peter 4, 11. And here are the gifts of the Spirit: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. That's the gifts listed in Romans. In 1 Corinthians 12, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 30, apostle, prophet, pastor, or teacher, miracles, kinds of healings, helps, administration, and tongues. Ephesians 4, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and 1 Peter 4, whoever speaks and whoever renders service. So if you didn't get it covered in any of the other ones, it's like, where does the Holy Spirit empower us? Anybody who's speaking or anybody who's rendering service. So here's the idea. When we're baptized into the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized into God's Spirit, we come out and we look different. We look and we're more like the Spirit of God in these areas: speaking, serving, prophesying, teaching, exhortation, encouragement, leading, mercy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, us having wisdom and knowledge beyond what we should actually have, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecies, on and on and on it goes, right? So here's the deal, you guys. I'm going to go back and talk about, is this a second experience or a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh? Let me try to give you an analogy on this, okay? If I met my wife when I was 17, but we started dating when we were 18, and we got married when we were 19. So let me just start when we got married. When we got married, there was a significant experience in my relationship with my wife. We got married. I knew my wife at age 19. This coming summer, we will be married 22 years. Now, I knew my wife at 19, but I know her more now after being married to her for 22 years. Now, here's what's interesting. It's the same wife, and it's the same relationship, but there's been an ongoing knowing that has been increasing year by year, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, where I've continued to get to know her more. So if I ask the question, when did I know my wife? And when did I get to know my wife better? When did I take the step to really have a relationship with her? But we know that there was a significant experience on the front end called marriage and a covenant. But we know that that has been extended out over a 22-year period where I've been knowing her more and more and more. And now, people that say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a second experience would say that that's the marriage. But what's interesting is that the Bible says when we receive Jesus and we surrender our life to God and we experience salvation, we're actually given the Holy Spirit. So we're not quite sure. Again, there's debate about, is it, we know we get the Holy Spirit at salvation. So then what is really entailed in this second experience? And what I would like to say today, again, is we could debate the theological merits of it, but here's what we know. In that experience, we're asking the Holy Spirit for more, and we're expecting the Holy Spirit to show up, to dunk us into him, and that we would then come back out of that baptism with some sort of, where's the words that I put in my notes? Some sort of changes or evidence. And again, some sort of changes in evidence in these areas that I listed, and I specifically want to touch on tongues, because tongues is really, I think, misunderstood, and sometimes it freaks a lot of people out. And so I just want to do a quick little side note on tongues is this, is that the Bible talks all over the place about tongues. Now, tongues is the idea that you are actually speaking not the human language that you know in your mind, but you're actually speaking a language that is being inspired to you through God's Spirit, okay? Now, here's the deal. There's two kinds, specifically two distinctions or camps, if I could, of tongues in the Bible. And I'll try to paraphrase them this way. The first kind of tongues is this, is that it's God's Spirit speaking through us in a tongue as a language to be interpreted. Okay, I'll break that down in just a second. The second type or camp of tongue is that it is God's Spirit speaking through us as an uninterpreted personal prayer language. Okay, so one is tongues, God's Spirit speaking through us in a tongue to be interpreted. And then the other one is that God's Spirit is speaking through us as just a personal uninterpreted prayer language. Now, let me go back to the first one here, to be interpreted. There's two ways in which tongues can be interpreted. In the book of Acts, we see that when the Holy Spirit initially shows up, that the disciples begin to speak in tongues under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in languages they don't understand. But in that moment, there's actually a lot of other people from other nations, and they are understanding the languages that are being spoken. So what's interesting is that in the book of Acts, in this first appearance of tongues, what we see is that the disciples are speaking an unknown human language through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they're actually speaking a language that they don't know, but it is being interpreted by other human beings in languages that they know. Now, this is actually a modern day example of this would be a missionary who's in another country, maybe in a place where they don't know the language or they're first learning the language, and they are inspired to speak in that language to a degree that they're not capable of in their own strength. And that language is then heard in a known human language by another human speaking another language. I have heard a lot of personal stories of things like that. The other part of this is that someone would speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit a language that they don't understand, and that there would be another human that doesn't speak that language because it's a spiritual language, but that they're given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit an interpretation of that language. So if I could do it like this, there's one person speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but they don't know what they're saying. And there's someone else who doesn't know the language either, but they are interpreting through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We see this laid out in the scripture in multiple places, but I've seen this happen as well. And so this can be used as a way of encouragement or exhortation in the body of Christ. And so the first kind of tongues would be speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in order for it to be interpreted either by a known human in a known human language or through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the interpreter. Okay, the second kind of tongues then is a personal prayer language that is not intended to be interpreted by humans at all. It is intended for us to use in prayer to God and for us to speak to him in a language that we don't understand, but he obviously does. And so we can pray for things that our mind doesn't understand. We can pray for situations that we don't have awareness of. And this has been where the first kind of tongues, the kind where one would speak in a language that is interpreted, I've never experienced speaking that kind of tongue. And I believe that it's a gift that not everybody has. This second kind of tongue is a prayer language. I think we can all pray like this. At least Paul in the New Testament says that he desires that we would all pray like this. Now, again, this is our spirit praying in prayer. We're praying a spiritual heavenly language that we don't know. Now, I want to stop and acknowledge, I understand that what I've said in the last 3 or 4 minutes can sound kind of crazy. I understand that. I didn't grow up with tongues. I didn't grow up with this. And I understand that this can seem a little bit different. But I want to add in that few things are as well documented in the New Testament as New Testament Christians speaking in tongues. I'll give you a quick run here. In Acts 2:4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So again, the Spirit is speaking through them. In 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, for anybody who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So again, not speaking a language to be interpreted, where this is the second kind of tongues, but speaking to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 and 15 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, right? God's Spirit is inspiring my spirit to pray. But my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. So again, it's a tongue that we don't understand, and no one else does either. It's not to be interpreted. Jude 1:2 says, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And then if that wasn't clear enough, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Now that's the words of the Apostle Paul. That is the words right out of the scripture, right out of the inspired word of God that we believe is our direction for life. And so I could just say like this, I understand that many of us didn't grow up with this or maybe feel somewhat uncomfortable with this, but let me just say that there are very few things that very few things are as well documented in scripture as New Testament Christians praying in tongues. And I just wanted to say that for me, I do speak in that uninterpreted prayer language in my times of prayer, and it has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. So again, receiving this baptism of the Holy Spirit, is this a second experience, or is it then a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth experience? And I would say in some ways it very much matters, and in some ways it really doesn't, because what is required, whether it's a second or a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, is for us to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to say, I want more of you. Would you baptize me in your Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, would you baptize me and submerge me in your presence? And would you change me and give me evidence that you are at work in my life? So how do we experience this baptism? How would you experience this baptism? Well, it's actually pretty simple. In Acts 8, 14 through 17, it says this, as when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So they prayed for the believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So basically what that means is that they prayed and asked to receive the Holy Spirit. And then there were other people that in this scenario laid hands on them. But we see other scenarios where that's not a requirement. And I know a lot of stories, my personal story, no one actually laid hands on me when I received the gift of speaking in tongues, which I know was an experience with the Holy Spirit. And I received the Holy Spirit, but I did ask for the Holy Spirit. And so I have, just as we close this morning and move into a time of worship, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And that's a great question. And if you haven't, can I just tell you, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit today more than ever, because whether it's a war in Eastern Europe or whether it's the tragedy of our own life, we need a helper to come and lift the other side of the log. We need a paraclete. We need an advocate. We need God's Spirit living and dwelling within us. We need words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We need to love. We need all the gifts of the Spirit and all the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Him in a fresh way, whether it's that second time or whether it's a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh time, I married my wife at 19 and I know her better at year 22, and I've been getting to know her better all along the way. So I believe that today, no matter where you are on the spectrum of your knowledge and your experience with the Holy Spirit, that today is the day for you to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you. And then I want you to take some time today and I want you to reflect. And in a personal way, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to come in. And I want you to ask specifically to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that leads me to my closing ideas. We said, what does the Holy Spirit do? And then what are we invited to do? And what we're invited to do, I've already explained, but we're invited to pursue all God has for us. And in Jeremiah 29, 13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So we're invited to allow God to help us. The Holy Spirit will help us. He'll speak with us. He'll help us remember scripture and read scripture. He will be with us and he will baptize us in his Spirit. So we're going to say yes to the Holy Spirit. And if you've never done that before, then you're going to actually ask today for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's like cucumbers going into that solution and coming out pickles. It's parakletos. It's that divine radio frequency in our ears that speaks victory even when we see defeat. And we are going to invite the Holy Spirit to baptize us. And if you've already experienced the Holy Spirit's baptism, then today I want you to ask for more, because I knew my wife at 19, but I know her now 22 years later way, way better. So he knows us, he loves us, he invites us, and let's ask him to baptize us afresh in his Spirit this morning. Pray with me, would you? And I'm going to pray over you. So Father, right now I pray for everybody within the sound of my voice. God, we believe that you are who you say you are. God, we believe that you are the creator, the God of the universe, the one who breathed the breath into our lungs and gave us life. We believe that you are manifest in the person of Jesus, the Son, who came and gave himself for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins and stand righteously before you, that we could stand in your acceptance and your forgiveness, that even when we were your enemies, you loved us and gave yourself for us, and we received that gift from you. If you've never received that gift before, you can do that right now. Let me pray quickly with you to say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe you're the Son of God. I'm a sinner and I need rescue. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Would you come into my life right now and have every piece in every part of me? In Jesus' name. And so we believe, now back just to praying for the Holy Spirit. God, we believe in who you are as a Father. We believe in who you are as a Son. And God, right now, Holy Spirit, we make a confession that you are the Spirit of God. You are here. You are near. You are available to us. And you've invited us to be baptized into you, to be submerged and dunked into your presence, and to come out with a change and an evidence of something different. So right now, I lead all of my fellow brothers and sisters, God, your sons and daughters, I lead them in a confession and a request. God, your word says that they prayed and asked to receive the Holy Spirit. So right now, God, I pray and we pray, make this your own words. God, right now, I pray for a deeper infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and baptize me afresh? Right now in this moment, I surrender myself to you. I declare that I need your help. I declare that I'm surrendering to you as an advocate in my life. Would you come in and would you fill me afresh? Would you baptize me in your presence? And I ask for the gifts of the Spirit, including the gift of tongues. I ask for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives in a fresh way: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Holy Spirit, move on us. We ask you to come in and to do your work in us today. Thank you for your leading. We ask for your leading. We ask for your gifts. We ask for all the fruit of the Spirit. And we ask for your comfort and your peace. God, I pray for fresh power over us. Holy Spirit, submerge us into your anointing, into your power. We thank you for divine grace, that it's divine acceptance, but we thank you that it's divine empowerment. So I pray fresh power over us in Jesus' name. And God, I just pray that as we move into a time of worship, that every person listening to the sound of my voice would continue a conversation with you, Holy Spirit, about the deeper places where they want to know you and they're inviting you to move into their life. God, I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship and let's pray.